Off the Ball, GAA.
So every environment that you're in around, you're hoping to learn from, and meeting so many people and seeing how people do things differently. And that builds, I suppose, knowledge, and you hope that with that knowledge, then you get kind of belief.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Hello and welcome along to Friday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Evan Ferguson plays his part for Roma, who moved closer to a place in the last 16 of the Europa League. Martin O'Neill praises a strong Celtic away performance. Arne Slot on the leadership of Dominic Szoboszlai at Liverpool. And Trinity Rodman becomes the highest paid female footballer in the world. But first today, Evan Ferguson suffered a minor ankle injury in Roma's 2-0 win over Stuttgart in the Europa League on Thursday night. But the Ireland international is still expected to be available for Sunday's Serie A clash with AC Milan. Ferguson suffered the knock during his role in the build-up to Roma's second goal in injury time. Gianpiero Gasperini hasn't always had positive things to say about the 21-year-old and has brought in Danielle Mallon from Aston Villa. But the Roma boss did praise Ferguson's form of late, saying that he's now in tune with his Roma teammates. He said that in the last few games, his attitude has changed. His condition has probably changed too. Compared to a few months ago, he's a player who stays in the game. He seems to be a player who is present and not intangible like at the start of the season. And on Friday's Off the Ball breakfast, Italian football journalist Daniele Fisichella joined Colin Buick and Shane Hannon and said Ferguson's time in Rome depends on whether or not if they managed to get another striker in the January transfer window.
He did okay. I watched the game. I looked at the newspapers today in Italy. He doesn't get a mark over 6 out of 10. Right. He did okay. He had a few chances to score. Perhaps he lacked a little bit of conviction, but I do still feel his relationship with Gasperini is on a tightrope. I think Gasperini is still using the carrot and the stick with him because he motivates it by saying things like, this is a great opportunity for him, being in Roma. He needs to take it with both hands. However, Roma have invested in the January transfer market. Now they got two new strikers in Daniel Malen and Robinho Vaz. At the same time, Gasperini a few weeks ago said, between Ferguson and Dybala, I would choose Dybala all day long because Dybala contributes more to the play. However, last night he handed him a start ahead of the Argentine Dybala, who came into the second half in a very important game that Roma won deservedly. What is this Ferguson situation? It is linked to the situation of other players at Roma. The fact that Artem Dovzhik, the other recognized number 9, is going to be out until March certainly helps Ferguson in terms of staying in the Italian capital. But as I mentioned earlier, the acquisition on loan of Daniel Malen, who hit the ground running with a good goal at Torino last weekend, as well as the 20-year-old Robinho Vaz, fills more spots. My feeling is that there is still obviously 10 days of the transfer market, a bit less perhaps. If Roma manages to get another centre forward, I think Ferguson is on his way out.
Right.
Whether he comes back to Brighton and then Brighton try to move him to another club, we still don't know. But if not, which looks very likely that Roma probably are not going to do any business, I think Ferguson is going to stay until the end of the season. And then there is a big question mark on him. Depends, of course, how Roma ends the season, whether they qualify for the Champions League, and whether he continue to improve as he's done in the last 5 weeks. But is it enough to grant a 35 million buyout clause for him, which is hefty for a club like Rome.
Don't forget, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30. It's on the Go Loud app and it's also available on YouTube. Celtic are still in contention to qualify for the playoff round of the Europa League. Martin O'Neill's side drew 2-2 away to Bologna last night. They were 2-0 up in the first half. Rio Hatate scored before he was sent off 10 minutes before half time. O'Neill says it was a battling performance from his side.
I thought it was a magnificent effort by the team. We played some really great stuff and We naturally got the second goal, then the sending off takes place. You're sitting back, you're having to defend, and we had to sit in for long periods in the second half as they put a lot of pressure on us. But the football club itself, Celtic Football Club, is built on heart and desire and things like this here, which has been going now for quite some considerable time. And I thought the players showed that tonight. He showed it in abundance, and it was a magnificent effort.
Celtic's last game is at home to Utrecht next Thursday. A win would guarantee them a place in the top 24. Aston Villa's 1-0 win away to Fenerbahce last night has secured their place in the last 16 with one game to spare. Jadon Sancho scored the only goal in Istanbul. It was Unai Emery's 100th game as a manager in the Europa League, a competition he's won four times, and he was pleased with the way they handled the hostile atmosphere.
We need to add experiences like today. It's very important for the players. How they were feeling the atmosphere, how they're feeling the opponent in their demand, and as well testing is very important.
Nottingham Forest were beaten 1-0 away from home by Braga, which leaves Sean Dyche's side in 16th place in the standings. Morgan Gibbs-White missed a penalty in the second half just before Ryan Yates then scored an own goal. And to round off a miserable night for Forest, Elliot Anderson was sent off in injury time. Rangers beat Ludogorets 1-0 at Ibrox, but they were already out of the competition. Robbie Keane's Ferencváros side drew 1-1 with Panathinaikos to leave the Hungarian side inside the top eight. Liverpool are on the south coast of England tomorrow to take on Bournemouth in the Premier League, and the champions are unbeaten since they lost to PSV at the end of November. They beat Marseille 3-0 away from home during the week. One player who stood out for Arne Slot's side all season is midfielder Dominic Szoboszlai. Slot has praised his leadership in a season where his side have been a little off the boil.
I think it always starts, if you want to be a leader, by leading by example, and that's what he's done since the 1.5 year I'm here. He's always the one that, without the ball, he's incredible. The way he can press, the intensity. He keeps running backwards, forwards. And I think he improved this season on the ball compared to last season, where last season I already liked him. But this season he plays with even more confidence and he's more often involved in chances and goals. He's having a good season, as some other individuals have as well.
However, on last night's football show, broadcaster and journalist Dion Fanning joined Owen Sheehan and questioned whether Slot is the right man for Liverpool.
I don't want to sound like a curmudgeon, but it was a good win against Marseille. I think the fundamental problems with Slot remain, and I haven't really seen any evidence that he's that interested in addressing them. Liverpool still play very slow football. Their ultimate, this is the bigger point about the Champions League. How the gap now between the Premier League clubs and everybody else they're meeting is just so massive that none of these games, like Arsenal, how many players? Maybe just rest seven players against Inter, This is not. This is not a real test of teams most of the time anymore. So it allows them. It allows you to give your little pro Arne Slot statement there. When the closer to the reality is the kind of Burnley game, and I feel with Slot now, there's just such an emphasis on his own PR. Whenever he speaks, the Burnley game, talking about the amount of chances they created, there is just this sense of, anytime you watch Liverpool, there is nothing changing, as I said, in terms of those fundamentals, in terms of actually a team playing really aggressively, playing really quickly. Like, this is the thing that has been taken out of. And it is the Jurgen Klopp element of the team that was there last year and was part of the reason why they won the league. What they had been instilled in Liverpool during the Klopp years was still there. And Slot was kind of tweaking it last year. And then towards the second half of the year, he was tweaking it a bit more. And this year, it has been entirely dismantled to that Liverpool are this ponderous, cautious team. And even when they were too open, there was no coherence to it. And now they're just ponderous and cautious. And their unbeaten record is a kind of a sham. Like, it is basically, it's there to allow Arne Slot to say, well, who and his defenders to say, how could someone lose their job in the middle of an unbeaten run? Like, the fundamentals haven't really altered. Now, maybe they will change. Like, Florian Wirtz is getting more and more influential for Liverpool and playing better every week. Ekitike, the same. Kirkes is playing well. So some of the players who've come in are doing well, but I still think there isn't that sense of how it's all gonna knit together. And I don't feel that, as I said, I don't feel that has changed. And I don't think a victory against Marseille really tells you much one way or the other.
If you want to hear that chat back in full or any of our football coverage, you can do so now in your OTB Football podcast feed. You can become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. Newcastle haven't ruled Bruno Guimaraes out of this Sunday's game against Aston Villa. The Newcastle captain left the pitch in pain against PSV on Wednesday night in the Champions League, but he's still being assessed. And manager Eddie Howe has also heaped praise on Anthony Gordon, who saved most of his best days for Europe this season.
I think he's consistently hit the physical levels that we ask. I think he's consistently hit the attitude that we need. So I've been pleased. I still feel there's more to come from him. I think he's an outstanding player, and I think he can deliver great things for us.
Thomas Frank says he continues to have the backing of the hierarchy at Tottenham. His side won 2-0 at home to Borussia Dortmund in midweek to ease some of the pressure on the Dane, but there still remains a lot of scrutiny over his position as manager. Spurs will hope to end their four-game winless run in the Premier League tomorrow when they're away to relegation-threatened Burnley.
Everyone is on the same page, and there's a lot of things going in the right direction. We just need to back it up even more. Good performance and more. Good result. Stay calm, no matter if you're getting too excited about things or it's too much, whatever, negative. Do what you trust, all of us. Carry on, and everything will be fine after that.
Lucas Paqueta is out of West Ham's home game against Sunderland tomorrow amid continuing uncertainty over his future. The Brazil international will miss a third straight game as he tries to negotiate a move back to his home country. Boss Nuno Espirito Santo wants to keep him and won't concede that Paqueta's West Ham career is over just yet.
The situation is the same. We hope that the club and Lucas find a solution. You know my opinion about Lucas. It's already been said in this room. But for this game against Sunderland, it's not going to be win the Scots. We have to deal with the Lucas situation day by day.
And remember, we've live commentary of two Premier League games this Sunday. First up, I'll be joined by Brian Kerr for the Crystal Palace and Chelsea game at Selhurst Park. After that then, Stephen Doyle and Gary Breen will call the action from the Emirates, where league leaders Arsenal face Manchester United. You can tune into Off the Ball and News Talk and the Go Aloud app this Sunday from 1 o'clock. And USA international Trinity Rodman has become the world's highest paid female footballer after signing a 3-year deal with Washington Spirit. The 23-year-old daughter of former NBA star Dennis Rodman has been a free agent since her previous deal with the Spirit expired last month. Her new deal is worth a reported $2 million a year, which includes bonuses, and that'll keep Rodman with Spirit until 2028. Barcelona midfielder Aitana Bonmatí, winner of the last three Ballon d'Ors, was reportedly the highest earning female before Rodman's deal. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan, and I'll be back with more next week.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.